friends. I'm your host, Erin Port, and welcome to the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast. Life can be overwhelming and busy, so once a week, I invite you to join me, and together we will make simple tweaks to uncomplicate the hard parts of our life so we can spend more time doing what we love. You don't have to overhaul your life to love it, so let's get started. Welcome back, friends. Today, we're going to talk about how to have healthy tech boundaries as an adult. This is our fifth part in our six-part series on how to simplify, streamline, and succeed in 2024. And I couldn't have this series without talking about our phones because they consume a large part of our day. They are a tool. They help us and they benefit us, but they also can be, if I would say for myself, a little bit distracting. So today we're going to talk about that. But I also wanted to remind you that in episode 5, we talked about how to be tech wise with kids. So I'm going to put that in the show notes just as an FYI. These are really geared towards us, but they can be used with kids as well. So let's dive in. A few years ago, I dropped my phone in water. Remember how much terrifying feelings those would bring up when it happened? Of course, I tried putting it in rice, but I needed to end up taking it to a local fix-it place. And of course, it's not done in like 30 minutes. It takes a couple of days. And so that all meant that I was without a phone. Gasp, right? Like, how is that even possible? Surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, I reached for that phantom phone, that phone that wasn't even there, so many times the first 24 hours it was gone. I literally grasped at nothing. The realization hit me. I was addicted to my phone. I am not the only one. In a recent study, they found these staggering statistics. About 50% of Americans admit they're addicted to their phones. The average American checks their smartphone 352 times daily, up from 110 times in 2019. Take that in. Like, just in 4 years, we've become three times more addicted to our phone. On average, that means if you are awake 16 hours a day, you check your phone 20 times per hour or every 3 minutes. 71% of people spend more time on their phone than they do with their romantic partner. Wow, those statistics. I keep track of my phone usage and the amount of time I spend on my phone went from, okay, so listen to this. I had a blog post that I wrote in 2019 on this subject, so I had these statistics. It went from 3 hours and 34 minutes in 2019 to an average of 5 hours in 2024. Up an hour and a half per day. I don't even want to do the math about how many hours I have spent in the last 4 years on my phone. Now, if you think about that, that means I'm looking at my phone 31% of my waking hours if I'm awake 16 hours per day, which most of us are at least awake 16 hours a day. That means we're getting 8 hours of sleep. That's nearly a full-time job per week with a staggering of 30 hours per week devoted to my phone. Now, I could make the excuse that I run an online business largely driven by social media, but even so, we all know that's too much staring at my phone. Once again, it's not just me. Phew. I don't know if that makes me feel better or worse. Anyway, cell phone usage has surged from 0.3 hours per day in 2008. I didn't even own a smartphone in 2008, so there's that, to a whopping 3.3 hours a day in 2024. So I wanted to include this topic, like I said, in our Simplify, Streamline, and Succeed in 2024 series because our phones can be a beneficial tool, or on the flip side, a tool that veers us off track from a simple and purposeful life. It's up to us. So why should we care if we spend a lot of time on our phones, right? Like last week I talked in the routines about we need to ask ourselves, why? Why does this matter? Like, why did Erin include this in this series? Well, here's why. In true, simple, purposeful living fashion, I'm going to share my why with you. The stats don't lie. If you need to go back and re-listen to them on one speed, because sometimes I listen on 1.5 speed, do it again. I reread them myself and I fact-checked to be sure. But too much screen time has been associated with adverse effects on your physical and mental health. Excessive screen time can lead to eye strain, headaches, disrupted sleep patterns caused by that blue light emitted by our phones. And when it comes to mental health, constant connectivity through phones can contribute to higher senses of stress because you're feeling you have to pressure to check notifications, respond immediately. Like, I always think when we went on vacation as kids and my dad left the office, he didn't have a cell phone. Like, there was, or email, there was no way to get a hold of him on vacation. Now, when we go on vacation, we have a cell phone, our emails on our phone, right? Like, we're always connected. Not to mention the feelings of discontentment and comparison that can bubble up as we scroll and compare our real life to someone else's on social media, right? We are in the midst of like day 552 of snow days, right? And day one, I was like, woo! And now I'm looking at everybody else, like, doing all the fun things in the snow, and I'm, like, eating, you know, whatever, and sitting on the couch, like, ready for spring to come. And we could really start feeling bad about ourselves, right? The addictive nature of smartphones can also lead to decreased productivity. Oh, my goodness. This is, like, me in a nutshell. I'm all too familiar with this. I get a notification on my phone and immediately get distracted, but So I check my phone. At this point, it's clear to all of us, our phone addiction is an epidemic. And therefore, we need to create healthy boundaries around cell phones. I'm saying this not as a person that has it all figured out, but as someone who's diligently trying to find healthy boundaries with her phone as well. Now, not only is this important for us, but it's important for us as we lead our families in this. I've often thought, like, so much of my life, I've looked to my parents or other mentors that are older than me that have been in my shoes to see how they've parented. And the tricky thing about this is we are the first generation parenting kids with phones. Like, my parents, you know, if my mom wanted me to come down for dinner, she'd just pick up the phone if I was on it and tell me dinner was ready, right? Like, if you know, she knew if I was on the internet because she couldn't, you know, our phone line was busy because it, you know, AOL, you know, those are the things we dealt with. Whereas now we're dealing with our kids having a phone. We have a phone, right? And they can see the hypocrisy if we say, put your phone down, but I'm still staring into mine. It is not easy pioneering in parenting in the phone age. And that's why I talked about that in episode 5, like I said. So if you want to go back and listen to more, even a scary story of like what happened to our daughter with phone usage, I would suggest episode 5. And I've put that in the show notes. But here's the thing we all need to understand. Phones are not the enemy. Say that again. Phones are not the enemy. They are a tool. I heard this said about money too. Like, money isn't the enemy. It's a tool. And how we choose to use it, to steward it for good or for bad in our lives, is up to us. And that's hard, right? Because we want to put the blame on something else and not on ourselves. So it's up to us whether we will yield this tool for our benefit or our demise in our daily lives. How can we use them to protect our physical health and benefit our daily lives? How does one break free from their phone and learn to unplug in a digital world? The key here, no surprise, is to start simple. On purpose. Most of us no longer have a home phone, so it doesn't make sense to ditch the phone altogether. So here are 10 simple ways to start making peace with your phone use. And hopefully this comes from a place, like I said, of I don't have it all figured out. These are things I'm trying to hopefully create healthy boundaries, not only in my own phone use, inspire you to do that, and also inspire our kids to have healthy boundaries because phones aren't going away. Technology isn't going away. And so we have to figure out how to navigate this. And I'm so grateful we get to do it together as a community. Okay, so 10 simple ways to spend less time on our phone. Number one, opt out of all push notifications. I did this years ago, and I don't miss any of the notifications. Every app wants to bombard you with push notifications. They want you to be on their app. They've got ads to sell. They want you on that app. So the best way to start is to turn them all off. Adjust your notification settings on your Apple or your Android device to regain control. All you have to do is go to settings and turn them off. It only will take you about 5 minutes to do this simple step. And the only 3 notifications I have on my phone, full disclosure, are my texts, phone calls, and then my Shopify shop notifications so I can be sure to ship out your products in a timely manner. And everything else is silenced and I don't miss it. Okay, so first of all, opt out of all push notifications. Number two, use the Do Not Disturb feature on focus mode. If you swipe down from the right on your iPhone, there'll be a moon icon that says focus mode. I started using this feature when I started recording podcasts. Spoiler alert, my phone is on focus mode right now. Here's why. I didn't want the dinging sound on my podcast recording, but that happy accident actually reminded me that when I turned my phone on focus, I wasn't distracted by even a text message or a phone call. Yes, phone calls from school and my husband and my kids still come through. You can push that notification through, but everything else is silenced. And honestly, the world still keeps running along. Your text messages will pop up as soon as you click off that do not focus or do not disturb or that focus. But oh my goodness, I have found my work to be so much more focused. We think multitasking is king, but what I have found is I am way more productive, way more focused if I'm focusing on one thing at a time and just really devoting myself to that. So I highly recommend using that do not disturb or focus mode when you want to get something done or you want to just take time away. You might even do this when your kids get home from school, like 5 to 8 p.m., just turn it on do not disturb. You're not going to miss anything super important, especially since your kids are home. And then you can just have that quality time with your family, not worrying about like the distractions of your phone. Okay. Try that out. Number three, leave your phone plugged in out of sight. Okay. So this sounds too simple, but I'm telling you, I've talked about this a ton where like visual reminders can be good, but they can also be bad, right? If I don't want to eat candy, I don't want to see it. I'm going to put it away so I don't see it, right? Like if there's a bowl of candy on my counter, I'm going to want to eat it, but out of sight is out of mind. And that can be good for the things that we don't want to do, like be on our phone all the time. So combat the temptation to check your phone by leaving it plugged in out of sight during specific times of the day. So here's one of the things I do. During dinner time, I just put my phone on its charger out of sight. Like then the temptation isn't even there because remember at the beginning of the podcast where I said I just grab my phone absentmindedly? We all do that, right? We just grab our phone. Like there's a lull in the conversation. I grab my phone. So I think it's important to just plug it in out of sight and out of mind. Okay. Speaking of simplifying, streamlining, and succeeding in 2024, we want to help you practically, not just with ideas, but also resources. So we created a free printable pack with decluttering checklists, cleaning checklists, and routine checklists. Grab your free, yes, I said free, pack today at simplepurposefulliving.com/simplify. The link is also in our show notes. The next tip is to use a phone tracker and set screen time limits. Numbers don't lie. This is so ironic too. I get my weekly screen time amount. Like this is your weekly screen time report. I get it at church 99% of the time. Like I am standing before the Lord. I cannot lie to him. Like this is the truth of how much time I spend on my phone. And tools like screen time applications or third-party apps like Moment to Track allow you to monitor your phone usage and set realistic goals. I have created a daily time limit for social media apps. My goal is to never see that limit notification pop up, but I'll be honest, there are days, especially if I don't have a very busy work day or we're on snow day number 562, where I get that notification, right? And that reminds me that I have spent plenty of time on social media for the day. So those are really helpful helps as well. A little bit of accountability. We scoff at it, but it's good for us. It's good for us. Okay. Number five, move all apps off the home screen. Okay. This is really interesting as well. And it's so simple. Opening up our phone, like this happens to me all the time. I'll open my phone up to make a call like to the dentist. And what ends up happening is it quickly becomes a case of the book, if you give a mouse a cookie, right? You know you unlock your phone to call the dentist, but you see the Instagram app and you tap on it without thinking 20 minutes later and you don't even remember why you picked up the phone, let alone calling the dentist for the appointment, therefore putting your phone back down and having to do it all over again later. Moving all of your favorite apps off your home screen makes it less likely for you to access social media or any other time-consuming apps you love. mindlessly. So just try it. I'm telling you what, this has made a huge difference. You just don't see it right away. You have to look for it, which honestly is not a bad thing again, right? It's like the candy. Like, it's not just right there. I got to go looking for it if I want it. Okay, the next one is number 6, pick some time to go phone free. Okay, this one, I'm sure some of you are like, this one feels a little scary, but here, another happy accident. Have you noticed something? Happy accidents happen to me and they teach me a lesson. Shocking. But one Sunday, I accidentally left my phone at home while we went to church. And guess what? I survived. This accident ended up being a good idea. I learned it's okay to go phone free from time to time. My husband had his phone, so we could make a call if in an emergency. And the number one thing people always ask me is, but what about pictures? My husband had his phone, so he could totally take a picture for me. Moms, you understand. While you might not feel comfortable leaving home without your phone, that's not what I'm suggesting, if you're home by or you're out by yourself, but are there times in your daily life when you could go phone free? Go phone free from your school-aged kids are home, or maybe for 30 minutes when you're talking to your spouse at night. Lead by example and set healthy habits. Is there a time where you could go phone free? Okay, number 7. Pick some time to unplug from social media platforms. So you might not go phone free, but you might choose to go and unplug from social media. Since I run an online business, I spend more time online than the average American. And by Friday, I can feel my soul just being weary, right? Like the comparison can start to creep in, the competition, the feelings of less than, all of those things. Like I am not immune to that. I feel that too. And when I start to feel those negative emotions rising in my soul, I know I need to step away. Like that is an indication to me that I need to step away. And so I have chosen boundaries and set periods, usually the weekends, to unplug from social media use. It is hard. Do I slip up and absentmindedly open the app when I open my phone? Yes. But it's good to have your favorite apps, like I said, not on your home screen. And after 24 hours, like I always suggest doing this for at least 24 hours, and maybe even a little bit longer, because what I find is after 24 hours, those feelings dissipate and I'm okay with like letting the world spin on without me in it. Like I find that it's okay. It's really nice. I am able to take those content creation glasses off that I have that like, ooh, that would make a good Instagram post or ooh, that would make a good share. And I'm guessing even though I'm a content creator, we all have that compulsion in this day and age of like, oh, I should share that. And when we unplug and just appreciate the moment for what it is without needing to share, it is good for my soul. So I'd suggest just thinking about it. Like, is there a regular time that you could do that? Now, some people choose to go for longer uses of time, which is number 8, delete most used apps for a longer period of time. I've heard of people doing like social media fasts or, you know, if there's a video game that you are just like super addicted to, the best way to do this is by deleting your favorite social media app so you're not even tempted. My mom was just telling me that she downloaded an app when she was going to Europe because she had time on the airplane that she doesn't allow herself to play normally because it's so addictive. I think it's Candy Crush. She didn't say, but I know it was one of those games. And she's like, I just don't allow myself to play it unless I have the time to do it, right? I can't have it on my phone because I mindlessly scroll or I mindlessly do whatever. So that's just a good reminder for all of us to delete those for a time period to get kind of out of that addictive routine cycle. Okay, number 9, choose some tech-free zones. So we have a tech-free dinner table. Everyone in the family knows this. So if I bring my phone to the table, you better believe my family is like, snap, no tech table, Mom. I'm like, yes, that's true. Here's the thing. I love family dinners, and my kids are getting older, and the days are fleeting. I know you don't believe me, moms of littles. I still can't believe I have a 14-year-old. And when he answered the phone the other day, he sounded like a man, and I nearly burst into tears, right? But the days are coming fast where they're not all going to be at the dinner table anymore. And that makes me sad. And the last thing I want is to be distracted by my phone during this really sacred time, right? I've spent a lot of effort meal planning and grocery shopping and preparing for this moment. I want to enjoy it as much as possible. And yes, at some point they eat your food. They're not as picky. They sit in their seat, all of those sorts of things. So we have no tech at the dinner table. We also have no phones in our kids' bedrooms. It's just for safety for them, you know, just boundaries for them, because again, we can so easily mindlessly scroll at the end of the day and not get the sleep that we need. So just giving them those boundaries is helpful. I talk again about more tech-free spaces and the small changes we have made in our home as we raise kids in the digital age in episode 5, and I will put the link to that in our show notes. Okay, number 10 is the newest addition to what I'm working on. I just did this, and I just felt like I needed to. Charge your phone away from your bedroom. For years, I kept my phone on a changing station on my bedside table with the excuse of having it nearby in case of emergencies. But what I found is it was so easy for me to just grab my phone as I was waking up in the morning and begin to scroll mindlessly. And what I found is that was not the way I wanted to set my tone for the day. Last week in episode 38, we talked about setting up good routines to help us simplify, streamline, and succeed in 2024. And I wanted to set my tone for the day a little more intentionally than just hopping on my phone. And I found that if I could make a simple tweak, like charging my phone outside of my bedroom so that I had to get up and go get it, because ultimately I wouldn't do that when I woke up, that it would be good for me. So now I put it right inside my bathroom. It's literally like 2 seconds from my bed. So in an emergency, I could grab it. My husband still has his next to his bedside table, so it works. But just even having to get out of bed to get your phone, I think is a good thing. And I have it just right when I walk in the bathroom, right to the right, but I can't see it from my bedroom. And so it's out of sight, out of mind. Like, are you getting a drift that is like a key for me, that if I don't want to do something, I put it out of sight and out of mind? So helpful. We also keep our kids' phones and iPads in the laundry room. We have a laundry room charging station. Everybody plugs their phones in at night. It's just a great place. We're not putting them in our basement or in their bedrooms or all of those sorts of things. It's really helpful. So here are the 10 things. Like, when I went through them, you're probably like, oh, okay, I can do some of those, right? Just remember, while technology has brought so many benefits, like my sister lives overseas and we lived overseas as kids, and we always remark how much easier it is for my sister and I to stay connected than it was for my parents. We used to send VHS tapes. My parents would sit us down in front of the fireplace and they would interview us for my grandparents, like, what did you do at school this week? And all of those sorts of things. They'd record us on a VHS tape. They'd mail it to the USA. Like, that was the old school version of Marco Polo, friends. And now my sister and I have that app and we can talk every single day. That is the power of technology and I love it. But on the flip side, I can also use it for decreased productivity and I can start to compare and all of those sorts of things. There are some negatives too. So I need to cultivate intentional, healthy habits. As a mom too, I want to be a role model for my kids, demonstrating that we can have healthy habits when it comes to phone. We can steward technology for good and have a healthy relationship with it. The journey to unplug and establish tech boundaries is just that. It's a journey. I hope that by considering and applying some of these practical tips, we can all take significant steps toward breaking free of our phone addiction to create a more balanced and mindful approach to our digital lives. Here's the thing, we only get one life. I'm still just like flabbergasted that the statistic is I spend 31% of my daily waking hours looking at my phone. Like, I want to look at the world around me and the beautiful life that God has given me. My numbers don't lie. I don't write this from a place where I have it all figured out. I am a work in progress. I have to do the hard work right alongside you. But let's hold each other accountable. Your practical tweak of the week is to consider one of these tiny changes and how you can implement it. Do you need to silence all of your notifications, move apps off your home screen, or communicate some tech-free zones in your home? You may need to move your phone charging station out of your bedroom just like I did. Remember, start small, choose one, Your journey with your phone is, again, a journey, not a destination. Friends, I hope that this encouraged you today as we all navigate 2024 and strive to simplify, streamline, and succeed. Until next week, friends, keep on keeping on with a simple, purposeful life. Remember, you don't have to overhaul your life. You can make simple changes one tweak at a time. Thanks for tuning in to the Simple Purposeful Living podcast. If you like this episode, it would mean so much if you'd share it with a friend or leave a quick rating and review so others can find our show. Until next time, you can find me at Simple Purposeful Living on Instagram and Facebook for some more encouragement and practical tips. You get one life, so let's enjoy it on purpose. Until next time, bye.